This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, because I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, because of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am love. Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So here we are again on a Saturday, and I'm so thankful to be with you again. And listen, last week I was telling you that I was honored and humbled to be asked to do the National Day of Prayer for businesses. And to give you a little background on this is that, you know, it's something I've not done on the scale before. I pray daily. You know, we're called to pray without ceasing. But in this regard, I was, you know, in the front of the stage, and there were many people out there, leaders, pastors, people from all over, and I just felt humbled, and I felt pressured because I really wanted to have impact with my prayer. I wanted to say something that mattered, and so on and so forth. So that gives you a little bit of background. And to lead up to this, I have a guest coming on, and I'm leading up to him and how he played a part in this delivery of this prayer. And it's amazing how God, you know, prepares us and puts people in our path and just makes these appointments happen if we're aware. And, you know, we just have to be available and willing, and the Lord will use us in mighty ways. So I belong to Convene. Most of you listeners that have listened to me for any length of time, you know that I'm part of this Convene group, and it's a group of business people that get together. It's kind of like a board of directors, and it's where you spend a day out of your normal realm of life, and you work on your business instead of in your business, and you use biblical principles to make decisions and choices that are going to affect those that you're responsible for. In a nutshell, that's what it is. And sometimes there are guest speakers that are invited to come in and speak. And it just so happened that the guest today was asked to come and speak. And he had written a book. I've got the book in front of me right now. And I have to tell you that he only brought one book. And he brought one book, and I'm talking to him about the situation and how I'm feeling pressured, and I want to say the right things and do the right thing and just be the best me and for God's glory that I can be, as we all should. And in talking to him, he felt, I think, that I was supposed to have his book because he gave it to me, didn't offer it with a price. He just gave it to me, and I'm forever grateful, and we will be referring to it. And I will tell you that I used some of his words from his book in my prayer. And so it was very, very helpful, and this book is very impactful. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the person that is waiting patiently to get on the air with me. His name is Dr. Merlin Switzer, and he's an experienced business leader who currently works exclusively in the field of leadership as an executive coach, keynote speaker, trainer, and consultant. Dr. Switzer holds a Doctor of Strategic Leadership with an emphasis in leadership coaching. He is a certified management consultant and associate certified coach. So he really, you know, has something to say, and I think we should listen carefully. Previously, Dr. Switzer spent 28 years with large organization. Nearly half of his career was spent at the management and executive levels. He frequently served as a change agent to implement new programs or improve operations in teams and or troubled areas in the organization. In 2000 and 2004, he was selected as a Manager of the Year finalist. That's quite an accomplishment. Dr. Switzer is the author, which is the book I'm talking about, of Bold Leadership, Biblical Principles for Marketplace Impact. He has interviewed nearly 80 Christian marketplace leaders across the U.S. whose stories bring relevant insights and inspiration to encourage leaders to live their faith in the marketplace. Dr. Switzer's company, Switzer Associates, Leadership Solutions, and Associates are committed to being catalysts for dynamic business stewardship through coaching, quality assessments, team building, consulting, and leadership training. And you're just tuning in right now to the Sue Freeze Show. And at the end of the show, I think Dr. Merlin Switzer is going to have an offer. So you have to listen and hear the end of the show so that you can hear the offer that he is going to offer the listeners. So without any further ado, Dr. Merlin Switzer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sue. It's just a joy to have an opportunity to be with you again.
Yes. We've had some brief encounters and conversations, and they've always been enlightening to me. And I can definitely feel your passion and feel your heart to help other people. And we're all called to be leaders at one level or another. And so this, if you're tuning in and you're saying, oh, this doesn't apply, yes, it does. It does apply. So just hang in there with us and learn as we go. So when did your passion for leadership begin? Sounds like you've, you know, you're accomplished in this. So when did it begin?
You know, interestingly enough, Sue, my passion for leadership actually started in high school, really in the 10th grade, a long, long time ago. That particular year, I was president of my youth group in our church and also in student body government, you know, for the sophomore class. And that year, my church asked if I'd be willing to go to a leadership camp in Colorado, which I was. And the school selected me to attend a leadership camp that summer as well. And so I can look back to that time definitively and say that's when God really began to speak to me and put a passion in my heart for leadership.
That is awesome. So how does your faith intersect with your leadership work? How do you intertwine them?
Yeah, that's a good question. And really the answer to that is, you know, Christ calls us to live for him daily. And so I've really, from a young age, tried to incorporate that. As an example, I started a prayer meeting on my high school campus. Later, I was in a academic setting, if you will, and started a prayer meeting. And still after that, was in a profession. And I thought, you know, it would be great if there was a group of committed Christians who kind of took a stand for Christ. And so we started that organization. And even today, you know, my prayer is daily, and certainly at the beginning of each week, God, who would you have me serve this week? How would you have me serve them? Help me to be relevant. And so I see my leadership work is really an extension of my faith. And at different points, I felt God calling me, for example, to be available to go outside the United States, and he opened doors to do that. And so it's really listening to and being responsive to God on an ongoing basis.
That's a key point, listening to God and being available and ready to do what he says. You know, he says, ask and you shall receive. And so many times I see people that are in leadership roles, and they compartmentalize their faith, and they don't intertwine it in their day-to-day walk. And, you know, church should not only be on Sunday. And what we hear and what we believe, you know, should come through in all aspects of our walk. And it's difficult sometimes, though. You know, in the business world, it is difficult sometimes to make those difficult decisions. But the payoff is great, and the Lord tells us that. He gives us promises in that regard to do his will, and, you know, he will make everything work out for his glory.
That's the exciting thing about walking in Christ is it is adventure. We, you know, we don't know what God has in store for us.
When you mentioned about high school and leading a Bible study, you know, I can remember way back, because I'm around your same age, and I can remember way back in high school. It was a long time ago. Seems like yesterday, though, to me, doesn't it? You? It seems like yesterday. But in high school, there was a Bible study, and I remember being invited to it. And at the time, I was going through some pressures with cheerleading and all kinds of things, and I just needed something more. And I think it was early on, like in freshman year, when it's just really tough to be the new kid on the block in your freshman year when you're, you know, you're the young one. Anyway, so this Bible study really, I don't know, it really came at a really important time. And so anybody out there that is thinking is, you know, the Lord is like whispering to you in some manner, speaking to you loud and clear that you should be doing this. You know, it really, really, really affects lives, and high school and junior high are such an impressionable time that we need more Bible studies. We need more of God in the schools and God in the workplace. So no matter where you are, you know, bloom where you're planted. And if you're being called to do that, I highly recommend it. I'm sure that you don't regret it at all, do you?
No, not at all. And the funny thing is, it wasn't really intentional. Two of us started praying in the hallway, and then it was three, and then it was four. And we weren't, you know, we didn't put any posters up or anything, just people kept coming. And then a teacher said, you know, Merle, would you like to use our classroom? And probably within two and a half months, there were 30 kids coming together to pray before school started. Sometimes, you know, pray for the exams I have later today, or pray over what I'm, you know, challenges I'm facing at home, or challenges in, you know, living the faith. You know, it's arranged on around a variety of real life issues that myself and these other students were facing.
Right. So what has it looked like to live out your faith in the marketplace?
For example, I actually spent time, I felt God calling me to leadership in law enforcement as I came out of college. And so about 2 years into it, while it was a very noble profession, there was a lot of darkness that we see and encountered. And six of us got together and we started talking about, you know, wouldn't it be neat if there, you know, was an opportunity to pray together and encourage one each other in our relationship with Christ and, you know, living our faith in sometimes a very challenging context. And so six of us started the Sacramento Valley chapter of the Fellowship of Christian Peace Officers in 1979. And I led that group for the first 2 years. We went from essentially this core of six to nearly 60 officers that were coming together, you know, once a month. And, it, you know, the fun thing, Sue, is just about 2 years ago, I was checking to see if this group was still meeting. And, in fact, they were still meeting on the third Friday of the month, which is where we had set it up back in about 1980. So
wow.
That group has continued for... over 30 years.
That's fantastic. Well, it's definitely needed. You know, they see a lot of ugly stuff in the world, don't they? The
yes.
policemen and all those people that help us. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Thank you, San Diegans, for tuning in and all the way up north and with the internet all over the world. Thank you so much for listening to The Sue Free Show. And listen, if you want to share this show or any show for that matter, I've been doing this for over seven years. So if you go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com, there are seven and some years of podcasts there, or you can go to iTunes, or you can go to iHeart, and you can find the podcast there. And so I highly recommend it. It's by subject matter, it's by guest, by date, and share it. Would you please share it and connect with me? When you go on the site and you connect with me, you can write me a little note, give me your contact information. I read them myself. Nobody reads them for me. I read them all, and I will respond to you. So I want to connect with you, and I mean that. And if you have any suggestions or topics or anything that you need prayer for, you need, you know, you just need more information on, I'm resourceful. I can find it for you if you like. Google's good too, but, you know, I might be able to find you something that maybe you can't find. So, you know, reach out and I'll reach back. Okay? So I highly recommend you do that. It's a great thing. Also on there, I just want to let you know that when you go there, there are different dials, little tiles there. On the second tile, there is a tile that is for affirmations or I ams. And IAMs are so important because we get fed words that might not really be truly you. You know, my dad, who's in heaven, I hope, used to say, Susie, you're like a bull in a china closet. So I believed I was, but now I'm a competitive dancer. So how much of a bull in a china closet could I be? Anyway, I chose not to continue listening to words that really weren't true according to the Lord. And you can do the same. And so, you know, you want to do this because you want to know what God says about you. So I am victorious, right? You are a son or a daughter of your heavenly Father. There are so many I ams in there. There's three pages of free I ams. Download them. They're for free. And then you can read them daily and it will, you know, change you. It will change you from the inside out and from your mind, and what you believe you will achieve. So I highly recommend that. So we both have written a book or two books. I don't know how many books you've written, but I know of one because I have it in my hand and you gave it to me. And I just thank you so much for your gift. And it was a timely gift for me. It came in so handy and I've got underlining. If you saw your book right now, I don't know if you'd be pleased or sad because, you know, I've really like worn it out already and I haven't had it that long. But there is so much information in this book. You know, I have some things underlined that I'd like to just read, and I don't know if I'm still in your thunder. So I'm going to let you talk about it first, and then if you miss something I think is important, I'm going to chime right in. So you wrote a book encouraging Christian leaders to be more intentional about integrating their faith. Can you tell us about this book?
Sure. Interestingly enough, one morning I was praying, and I felt God began to speak to me about writing a book and essentially downloaded the outline that you see in this book. And I started writing it, And I really felt convicted that the story, rather the book, should be very practical, but filled with real stories of businessmen and women living their faith in the marketplace today. And so I started on a journey to interview people who had a reputation of integrating their faith and vocation across the United States. And I got to tell you, Sue, it was such an encouraging, enlightening experience. So often I get finished with one of those phone calls, and I call my wife and I said, "You can't believe it. It's like another piece of the puzzle." As I was interviewing this person, about 80 of the people that I interviewed were leaders across the United States, two-thirds of whom were CEOs, business owners, or senior executives in companies. People like David Green at Hobby Lobby, Steve Trice, Jasco Products, and others across the United States. And they were just enlightening interviews. And I asked questions like, how does your faith play a part in your role as a business leader? Give me an example of when you felt you were at your best as a Christian leader in the marketplace. How does strategic planning intersect with faith, or team development intersect with your faith? So lots of questions along that line. And so each of those interviews took, you know, an average of an hour. And so I was very grateful that these busy people would give me some time. And so the book itself talks about a biblical foundation for work. I mean, actually, think about it. In the Garden of Eden, after God created Adam, he actually put him to work to care for the garden. And so right from the very beginning, we see a man who is given a task, if you will. And, of course, there are other examples of men and women throughout the Bible that have been assigned, if you will, different roles. We talked about in this book biblical values for the marketplace. In fact, I surveyed, or one of the questions I asked the people that I interviewed is, what biblical principles are most relevant for the marketplace today? And in the book, I outline what the top six were. And later in the book, I talk about leveraging teamwork, becoming a strategic thinker, confronting challenges. So each of these chapters starts with a story of the person that I felt best represented that particular focus of that chapter. And then, of course, included quotes and comments by others throughout it. And so it was just it's one of those things that it was just a fun experience and encouraging and actually at times convicting experiences. I listened to the way some of them had integrated their faith.
It is helpful, kind of convene. That's what we do too, is, you know, people will express their experiences and what works, what doesn't work, and the biblical principle that's behind it. And, you know, I've been in other like groups, but they didn't have the God thing. They didn't have the direction of the Bible and God's principles. And it was something that was really lacking for me, because, you know, it's important to me to lead the way God would want me to lead. And so I found that since I am looking at the Bible, and you know, I call it the life book, you know, it's the book for life. The game book for life is the Bible. And, you know, if you can't play the game if you don't know the rules, right? And you got to know what your goal is, and you got to know the players, and you got to know what's going on in order to know how to work, you know, and who's on the team, and who do you want on your team, and what role are they playing, you know? So it's all of that. And the Bible, it does all that. And a lot of people go, how do you find that? You know, where do you find that verse, you know? You know, but you do. I mean, when you ask the Lord to reveal to you in his word and scripture, it's something how it kind of just kind of leaps out off the page sometimes. For me, it does anyway. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. In fact, you know, when I was going back to work on a doctorate in leadership at Regent University, my first day on campus, very first session, one of the professors said, here at Regent University, we believe that all leadership study starts in the Bible. And so every semester, you'll be doing biblical exegesis to see what does the scripture say about this particular aspect of leadership. And I got to tell you, Sue, over the next 3 years, I learned things about leadership from the scriptures that I had never seen before, and I had read the Bible from cover to cover. And so I just came alive in a different way through that process.
You know, something, I'm reading some words here, and I, you know, we just had Mother's Day recently, and you know, Father's Day, and you know, sometimes we think of work, you know, we think of leadership, biblical principles in the workplace, right? But also these are parallel lessons for leadership as far as husbands and mothers. So the definition you have, in its, I'm going to read this from your book on page 28, if you don't mind. It says, in its most basic sense, leadership is the process of influencing others to achieve something. Now, as a mother, I would say that fits. And as a father, I would say that fits. And then you go on to say, a leader is the active agent in leadership. He or she is the person who is the catalyst behind causing people to exert effort to accomplish a goal or take some action. Now, as parents, we definitely want our children to do something. We want them to live out the purpose that God created them for. And we are there to help them get there and to understand and believe in them. And so I think that these lessons, you know, if you're not in a business role, but you're a mom at home and you're listening right now, this does apply to you too. Because it matters. It matters even more. I mean, it's the future of our country. It's the future of the world. So it's amazing. And Dr. Switzer, the God prayer, the prayer for the National Day of Prayer, can I share with you the prayer that I ended up with? Because I think that you're going to get a smile on your face. Because
yes, of course,
you're going to see just how much you impacted me on this prayer. We have 1 minute before break, so let's see how fast I can read. You ready? Thank you, Lord, for creating and equipping us to fulfill our purpose on this earth so we can lead and serve others. Our role as business leaders is a privilege and an honor that you, our Heavenly Father, have entrusted to us. Our prayer is for continual boldness to serve you by living our faith and impacting the marketplace and those we come in contact with. I pray, Lord, that we are bold with courage to let our light shine in the darkness. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. We trust our leadership to you, God. We need your strength and discernment to base decisions on biblical principles and values. We need to be courageous and open about our faith and our motivation with the eternal perspective. We need on our knees confidence. Those are your words, and I loved it. We pray for alertness for divine appointments. And I will continue reading this right after this brief break.
Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
When you or someone you love has been diagnosed with a serious illness like cancer, the first thing you want to do is stop the disease. Unfortunately, after many attempts with conventional medicine, some of you will have no success. Where do you turn next? At Orange Coast Medical Center of Hope, serious diseases like cancer are managed through natural methods. Through integrative cancer care, Dr. Nizami can help patients with terminal disease. Some patients who haven't responded to chemotherapy do respond to Dr. Nizami's treatments with better quality of life. Some will even be able to tolerate chemotherapy and radiation better. Even in the latest stages of the disease, you can still get results with alternative therapies. Dr. Nizami uses cutting-edge medicine, genetic modifications, and metabolic treatments for cancer. So if you or someone you love is ill and your doctor tells you there's no hope, call Orange Coast Medical Center of Hope today at 949-515-4673. 949-515-4673 or online at allcancercare.com.
Hi, this is Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola Termite and Pest Control.
And I'm Tyson Freeze, Sue's son, and also work at Ecola. I understand why Ecola is Southern California's number one alternative pest control company. As a child with asthma, my mother made it her number one priority to protect me from harmful chemicals and contaminants.
I wrote a book about it called Learning to Breathe, about a love without bounds and a fight I refuse to lose.
I'll always be thankful for my mom's love and strength during this struggle, which essentially saved my life. I'm proud knowing my mother, Andy Cola, cares for our customers like my mom cared for me.
As a special tribute to all the wonderful moms, now through the end of May, we are offering $100 off any termite work and $50 off pest control for new customers. Just call 877-332-BUGS for details. That's 877-332-BUGS.
Or online at termitelady.com. E. Cola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
Love you, Mom.
You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show.
Thank you, E. Cola, so much for taking care of all of us with our termite, pest control, and rodent needs. And if you haven't made that call yet and you're not sure, just, you know, peace of mind would be good. So just call. Give us a call and let us just give you a free estimate and talk to you about what the issues are, and we'll individualize the best solution for you, okay? And Learning to Breathe is the book, and if you're new, it's a great book. It's about respiratory issues. It's about asthma. It has scriptures in every chapter. I just got back from London. They like the book so much. They want me to e-book it and audiobook it and translate it and all these things. So it's very exciting time, and another whole world that I know nothing about. But I'm learning. See, you do where the Lord leads you. You just ask him to guide you and you just go. And so before the break, I was reading a prayer from the National Day of Prayer for businesses that I prayed. And I'm going to continue on just because I want to finish this because it's really good. I think it's really good. Anyway, so it says, we pray for alertness for divine appointments. That is so good. We need those divine appointments. Everyone listening, ask the Lord to show you those divine appointments. Open our eyes and ears to help us see opportunities to serve and love others. To treat our employees and customers with honesty, integrity, fairness, compassion, dignity, and true caring. Connecting relationally is embracing your passion for others, seeking to understand more than being understood. Jesus, you tell us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. That's in Luke 6. Instead of reacting harshly or seeking revenge, you call us to be merciful to those who offend us, just as you are merciful to us. We cannot serve others this way in our own strength. We must continually breathe in your grace through the study of your word, prayer, worship, and Christian fellowship, and then breathe out your love, mercy, forgiveness, and wisdom to others through our words and actions. Boldness based on our confidence in an infinite, all-powerful God is expected of a biblical leader. Yielding to fear is not. Fear not is in the Bible 365 times. It's a reminder for each day, because we need those reminders, don't we? At E. Cola Services, we decided to put "In God We Trust" on our return envelopes. And now we have customers canceling because of this. We are trusting in your promises and standing firm. You tell us to be bold, courageous, and valiant. In Matthew, it says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lord, in Jeremiah, you say, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In Ecclesiastes, to the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Guide us moment by moment to please you. We desire wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. My mouth will speak in praise of you, Lord. Let every creature praise your holy name forever and ever. So, Dr. Switzer, did you hear any of your book in there?
Yeah, so I did. I certainly did. Thank
yep.
you.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't give you, you know, like, this is by. I'm sorry I couldn't, but I couldn't. But I just wanted to give you credit and let you know that thank you so much for the book. And I believe that our goal is to inspire others to do what God has purposed us to do. And I believe that that's what we're doing. So thank you so much for giving me this book. I just... you know, you never know how deep, how wide a gift is going to go, do we?
No, we don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's exciting to see what God does with things like yeah. that. Like, how would I, at the time I gave you that book, I didn't know that you had a radio show. I didn't know that you'd be, you know, invited to pray at the National Day of Prayer event.
Yeah.
But God did.
And yeah, and God gave me tools and gave me help, and you were part of that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so do you have any other books in mind? I would like to get in one of these books. Can I be on the next one?
Yes, actually, we'll set up a time for me to interview you.
I think that'd be awesome.
The next book I'm working on really has to do with encouraging businessmen and women to ask the question, God, what is your vision for my business? What is your vision for me from a kingdom purpose perspective with wherever you've planted me in the marketplace? And some of the interviews I've already conducted were just knock your socks off. In two of them, people literally felt God speaking a word to them in terms of giving them a vision for their leadership. And in one case, it was 14 years before this person saw a material part of this vision unfold. And yet he was diligent over that period of time, preparing himself for what God had in mind. And I can so relate to that, and maybe you can too, at different points, feeling that God was putting something on your heart, but not knowing exactly what that would look like or how it would come to be. In fact, that's the way it was with Convene. After I wrote Bold Leadership, God began to use this book to put me in front of Christian business organizations like Fellowship of Christian Companies International. And as I was speaking in them, before those groups, God began to speak to my heart that I was to dedicate a part of my leadership practice specifically to coming alongside of other leaders, but I didn't know what that would look like. One day, a friend of mine emailed me and said, Merle, I want you to know your name has been thrown into hat to lead Convene. And I'd never heard about it, and we couldn't get together, and so I just honestly, Sue, I blew it off. Over the next 6 months, no less than six times, people unsolicitedly made comments about this group called Convene that I should check into. And finally, I was asked to speak at a National Day of Prayer event, to pray rather than to speak, 3 years ago this May. And at the table that I was assigned to sit at was one of the people I'd interviewed when I was writing this book. And he asked me, he said, Merle, what are you doing these days? And I told him, and he said, there's this group called Convene that you should get involved with. And honest to goodness, I started laughing. And I said, you'll never know how many times this has come up. Well, long story short is he introduced me to an executive at Convene that day. And the next day I had a conversation with them. And I thought, okay, this is what God has been preparing me for. And so just in a sentence, Convene is a place where high-capacity Christian CEOs come together to grow their faith, grow their leadership skills, to learn how to be better stewards of the businesses that God has entrusted to them. So coming back to the next book, what's the vision that God has put in people's heart that he's preparing them for? And like the parable of the soil, some of us aren't listening, and we're not interested in what God's vision might be. Some of us hear it, but it may overwhelm us, and we just lose interest. Others may have very good intentions, start down that path. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? But, you know, the cares of life drown them out. But then there's some who really catch the vision, that follow through and see it happen. There was a person, the founder and executive director of Christian Camp up in Vancouver, and he told me, you know, God put it on his heart. He actually went to this property that God put on his heart to purchase, and nobody was there, so they prayed over the property and left. A year later, went back when he was back up on this island and met with the owner of the property, who said, you know, there will never be a Christian camp on this property. And other people said, you know, you should forget this. You know, this is kind of a pipe dream. But he said, it was so clear in my heart that God had called me to do that I couldn't let go of the vision. Well, God did a variety of things that, looking back, he could see that they prepared him for the day when he made his last call. And by this time, the property owner had passed away. The person to the property had been willed to, had decided he was going to move away. and within 30 days, they had permission and had worked out the arrangements. And so as I looked at this beautiful camp, I asked, I said, is this what God put on your heart? When you look back in terms of when God really began to speak to you, and he said, yes, I could walk away from this today feeling like I had accomplished the vision that God shared with me so many years ago. And that is so encouraging to me. I mean, does that encourage you, Sue?
I have to tell you, I'm like almost jumping out. And Katie, my producer, she's sitting there smiling so big because God put on my heart when I was 10 years old that I'm supposed to have a horse ranch for domestic violence, women and children. And right now, there is a piece of property in Colorado, 91 acres, that I am supposed to be going and looking at. And I'm saying to myself, I've said to myself the whole time, this is such a God dream because it's way bigger than me. And yeah. I have no idea how all the pieces are going to fit. I have no idea how this is going to work out at all. And, you know, I always say that, you know, God is preparing me for the next assignment, and he prepares each one of us. As life goes on and we go through experiences, ups and downs and whatever, is that I always look at every problem or situation as opportunity, and it's circumstances to prepare us for the next assignment. So I believe I've been groomed all this time for this new venture, and to hear you say that, you have no idea how much that just encouraged me, because I'm sitting there going, oh, I don't know. This is like way big, you know? And so here you're saying this, and it's talking about property, and I'm thinking about property, and I'm supposed to go fly there to see it. And I'm like, oh, really? I mean, you know, really? So it's really amazing that you just said that. I was like, wow. And Katie's smiling from ear to ear right now because it's just so amazing. Anyway, so yeah, does it encourage me? Yeah, it does. That's like crazy. Oh, my goodness gracious. So you've talked about Convene. And Convene's been great for me. I've been in it for over 7 years, and it's great. What's the number one thing you coach executives about?
Yeah, whether it's Convene clients or other executives, the number one thing is how to have those difficult conversations. You know, as leaders, so often we have issues of one kind or another with our direct reports or others in the company. And so often we hope strategy is not really a hope, but we hope that the problem will fix itself. And my experience as a leader is that often those situations get worse rather than better. So that's the number one thing that executives ask for coaching, was how do I deal with this situation? There are ways to deal with it, but guiding and helping that executive to identify what's right for them and their organizational culture and context is a great coaching topic.
You're listening to the Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I could not agree with you more. I find that, you know, financial situations, purchasing, dealing with, you know, even legal things, when we're dealing with relationships, when we're dealing with people and feelings and belief systems, it seems that, you know, I always look for what's in it for the other person. How can I make this a win-win for both parties and still stay true to my company, to the other employees that are relying on me to make, you know, intelligent, wise, discerning decisions. But I agree, the fierce conversations, the ones that we put off and then think after we have them, we're going, why did we wait so long and stress over it so long when we should have just dealt with it right head on? And this goes, you know, in our personal situations, it's just the same. It's like so easy to try to just shuffle it under the rug and not talk about it. But biblically, it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It says, you know, you need to deal with these things. And when you're tired or when you're hungry, not the best time to have these conversations. That's what I'm saying. But they do need to be had. So timing's important. Would you not agree?
Timing is absolutely important. The scriptures remind us to, you know, speak the truth with love. Mm-hmm. And so when we speak the truth with love, we're on the road to finding a resolution with that individual.
Exactly. Some of my employees, they'll say, Sue, could you just work your magic? And it's really not magic. What it is it's just taking into consideration everybody's feelings because everybody has them. And
yes,
everybody has belief systems. And I want people to realize they're important and they're valued because I think that's really important. But also we have to, you know, look at the big picture. And not everybody does. You know, not everybody does look at the big picture. So it is really important. So are there some key steps? I always liked steps, you know, like in your book, you have points.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have points for that, for discussing
yeah.
that at all? I haven't got to that chapter yet, if it's in here.
Yes, it is. It's actually in the chapter on
I'm flipping through right now.
Teamwork.
Oh, leveraging teamwork. I haven't got there yet. I cannot hardly wait. I really am excited. So
yeah, in a nutshell, I use a kind of a coach approach to it, but it starts with defining what the behavioral issue is. And then secondly, helping that person explore what are the implications of their behavior. And it could be implications in terms of how it impacts them, coworkers, clients, other strategic partners, including you yourself as the leader. The third step really focuses on what are the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you can ask a question around, okay, so given our current policy and procedures, what would be relevant to this situation? And ultimately, we want to make sure that at the end of that step, that individual knows what the expectations are. So then the step four would be, so what are the consequences, both positive and negative, that could result from this behavior if it continues on? And so having a candid conversation about what are those potential positive outcomes if it changes or negative outcomes if it doesn't. And I'm sure like you, Sue, being kind of a people-oriented person, our desire would be to see people on their own change their behavior. So the next step is action planning. So what steps could you take to turn this behavior around? And so just guiding them through a brainstorming process as to potential action steps. And then ultimately, let's commit to action. So which of those actions are you going to take and when that would help you turn this behavioral issue around? And how will I know that? That's kind of the follow-up point is, how will I know that you're taking those steps? And so I really am an advocate of putting the onus, if you will, the burden on that person to report back within a certain time frame or send the results to demonstrate they're making those changes. And then the final step would be documentation as appropriate. And it's interesting, when people talk about it, they have a particular response. But then when they read a summary of what we just talked about, here's the behavior that we talked about on a certain date, here's the impacts that we covered, here's the expectation going forward, here's the potential consequences, here's the action plan that you developed, et cetera. And then they see that in writing. It's interesting to see their response. And quite often we get to this point in those situations, they recognize and make the effort to change that behavior.
That was so good. And I found it. It's chapter 6. I've circled it. I've, kind of dog-eared it and everything. So I'm ready to read this. I'm going to have all of my staff read this because, we are called to be bold and it's not always favorable, and we have to live with intention. And you said that at the very beginning, and I love it, that word intentional, just being intentional and understanding the big picture and understanding there's more than just this world we're dealing with. And the people that I'm working with me, I want them, to see a difference. I want them to want what I have. I want them to, understand that they can believe in my word being my word. And it's just so important, in this day and age, especially with all of the lack of that it stands out and it's important. And we need to speak up for what we believe in. I just think it's so great to be bold. Not easy sometimes. Yeah. Not easy sometimes.
No, it's not. And bold is not the absence of courage. It's the control of fear. Or rather, bold is not the absence of fear, but it's the control of fear. It's being courageous as we exercise leadership. And the reality of it is other people expect us to. And if we don't, then that begins to undermine our credibility as a leader in our respective companies.
Yeah, I've found that when people that I did not want to leave left, it's usually because they stopped believing. And when you have people that stop believing, I think that's what happens in marriages that don't last. Mm-hmm. It's when the belief structure leaves, when there's no more faith or belief left that things can work out, then it ends up going the wrong way. So I think it's important that we keep strong and that we keep attentive and pay attention to what's going on around us in the workplace, at home, no matter where we are. We need to be aware of God's appointments, and we need to, just be loving and kind and understand that it doesn't come without a price to not be that way. And he says, mercy to give mercy to those. And that word mercy and grace, they're amazing things. And people say, you know, I ask people in my company, what's my biggest fault? And they say, you care too much. And I'm like, if that's my biggest fault, I can go to, I can die with that. I can feel good about it. So we have 2 minutes left. And so I'm going to give this 2 minutes to you. You've got the mic. So you go ahead and let people know what you want them to know. And, you know, we said at the very beginning that you were going to give an offer. And so here's your time.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm really excited about this. We have several other Christian coaches in, you know, affiliated with us in our company. And so we'd like to offer, listen to this, we'd like to offer complimentary coaching sessions for the first 20 listeners who are serious about wanting coaching. It'd be myself or one of our team members. We'll schedule an appointment with you. You just need to let us know. Give us a call at our office, area code 916-788-1094. That's 916-788-1094. Or simply email us at info@switzerlandleadership.com, and we'll get you scheduled for a great coaching experience with one of our Christian coaches.
And if you didn't get that, you're driving and, you know, we talked kind of fast, don't worry about it. Can you remember Sue Fries, spelled like fries, oneword.com? Just remember Sue Fries, spelled like fries. .com. And then what you do is you go there, and all this information will be up on my website so that you can get connected, and maybe you could be one of the lucky, blessed people that are going to get this free consultation. I think it's great. I want one. Dang it. Anyway, so I think that's a wonderful offer, and I just thank you so much. There's a verse that comes to mind, and it's John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And isn't that so true? So we're going to be leaving. I just thank you so much for being part of this show, Dr. Merlin Switzer. And until later, be a blessing to someone each and every day. God bless.
This has been the Sue Fries Show, sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.
Are you single and tired of the dating scene? I get it. Come to OC Singles for Christ, a church for singles by singles. We meet every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. in the Costa Mesa area. Don't have time to stop for dinner? No problem. Come at 6:15 p.m. for a freshly catered meal for only $6. That's right. Every Friday night at 7:30 p.m., we get together for a great time of worship, teaching, and fellowship. Did I mention karaoke? Then you'll want to check out all of our amazing events, like our Saturday Night Fever Dance coming up on May 14th. Tickets are only $20 and include dinner by Juan's Tacos. 39 and under get in for half price. That's right, $10 with a valid ID. So grab those bell bottoms and those platform shoes and head on over. on May 14th. Grab your tickets at ocsinglesforchrist.org. That's ocsinglesforchrist.org. See you soon.